get to the gay bashing as an example of the kind of empirical thing that might actually be true. And, you know, Charlie, I was a public defender in the District of Columbia. And we represented, you know, all kinds of people, but every once in a while we'd get a gay basher. There was the so-called Peace Street Beach along Rock Creek Park, where it was a well-known gay trysting area. And D.C. juries are very representative of largely poor and minority community, and our juries were largely poor minority jurors. And they didn't think there was really much wrong with beating up gay people who came to tryst in the bushes along the Peace Street Beach. And you're saying, well, you know, you could, there's nothing, it wouldn't come out any differently. Well, things wouldn't be different if you actually told juries that they, you know, it's up to them to decide whether, you know, they really think it's a good idea to apply the law in this case. I think you'd get a lot more acquittals. We had a lot of acquittals as it was under the law, but if we could say, look, ladies and gentlemen, jury, it's up to you to decide whether the law against beating up people really ought to be applied in this case. What are these people doing in the bushes anyway? I'm appealing to you to make a statement about community morality. And so I really do think you're not giving adequate justice to the kinds of arguments. My brother does criminal law in Texas, and he says it's a sort of well-known that it's an informal defense to homicide that the victim needed killing in Texas. And if you can make that argument directly to juries, I think you'd get a lot more acquittals for them in the sense that trying to raise. Now, there is some, I mean, on the other hand, I'm pretty sympathetic. I think we constrain way too much juries in the tiny role. And this is another thing, the tiny role they, well, let's face it, we live in a world where 95% of cases are not resolved by jury. So in terms of, the jury as a constraint, as, you know, a protector of liberty, it's to be realistic about what kind of hopes you can have. But one of the things that does seem very, very different from the founding is the fact that today juries not only aren't told that they resolve justice or the law, but they don't know what the consequences of their verdicts are going to be. It's forbidden in most jurisdictions for juries to know what the sentence will be or what the potential sentence would be. And this has created all kinds of real, I think, you know, this could be, I think, the jewel in the crown of your arguments about how different we are from the founding and what kind of injustice can follow from this. And, you know, in California, where you have 3 strikes, you're out, and stealing 9 videos from Kmart can get you 50 years to life, which it actually did get someone 50 years to life because it was the 3rd strike. The jury, if they're, you know, in a jury trial, the jury would not know that finding this defendant guilty of stealing 9 videos would expose them to a 50 to life sentence. Just recently in New York, 2 different federal judges tried to unsuccessfully, well, one did, and it's about to be reversed, I'm convinced. The other one was already mandamus, tried to tell juries in child porn downloading. They had, you know, first-time offenders who were subject to the mandatory minimum. I believe it was 5 years. 5 years of first-time, you know, offense of downloading child porn on their computers. Respectable, middle-aged, you know, folks with no prior criminal record. And the judge just wanted the jury to know that if they convicted the defendant, the judge would have no choice. And that seems to me a good argument on your side, but a much more narrow claim about what maybe juries ought to be able to do, certainly encompassed by it.